I want to use some scripture this morning out of the fourth chapter of the book of Galatians. Just read a few verses. But I basically want to, I looked and I saw, you know, I've got about, actually, today, two more sermons before Christmas. And I'm on, so it's up to you. I'm green anyway. I'm green in more ways than one, but I was referring to the light here. I want to, as we go through the Christmas season, to be sure that we truly do remember the true meaning of it. And I think it's important that we understand, we put a lot of emphasis on the manger scene and the birth of the Lord. But I hope that we don't lose sight of that overall picture, that it was not just right there at the birth. We spent so much time talking about the manger and the stable, and those are significant in that that's actually where he was born. We're not awfully careful. We'll become critical of those people who we like to think put him in that predicament. But the truth of the matter is that was all, again, a part of God's plan. I think the thing that we need to understand is that overall plan, this, for the earthly part of it, was just the very beginning. And it is an important time. It's a time that we need to celebrate his birth. We also need to recognize that he came, and you'll hear it mentioned in the songs, you'll hear it mentioned in the scripture, you'll hear it mentioned in different areas, that he came as a redeemer. I couldn't help but think of the song, "I Will Sing of My Redeemer." And truly, he is my redeemer. He is the one who redeemed my soul. And I'm so thankful for that this morning. I went back and did a little studying. I didn't do enough. I always feel like that I never do enough studying. But I went back over in the Old Testament and began to look at the redemption program that was put into the Word of the Lord for the people of Israel in the days of old. And basically what that processes began was that if people were poor or they became poor during their lifetime and they had to effectively mortgage their inheritance, that they effectively had to forfeit it. And in so doing, that person who became the holder of that property was a person then who effectively held their lives in their hands. And there was a price, though, that could be paid to redeem that property. As a rule, that agreement was drawn up between the person who was taking possession and the person who was giving up the right. And it was then sealed, and it was sealed so that that it was not an embarrassment to those people. It was not something that was anyone else's business, and it was only known to those parties. But there was a time whenever that could be redeemed. And there were certain people who were qualified to redeem it. Just not anybody could go in and do it. And I think probably as you begin to study the scripture, you can begin to see how that God, whenever that he and the Son were in heaven, and prior to even the time that man came here upon the earth, and they looked down through time and saw there was going to come a time. Now, what am I going to say? I'm going to tell you this morning, yes, I believe in the foreknowledge of God. Now, some of you don't, but I do. I believe in the foreknowledge of God. I also believe in predestination. I believe that there are many things that are predetermined, and I'm not going to get off on a sidekick on that. And if you disagree with me, that's your privilege on any of these things. But I'm convinced that before God ever even created the heavens and the earth, that He and the Son had already reached that agreement, because they knew that as mankind came into the world, that he would be overtaken in sin, and that he was going to need a redeemer. He was going to need to be redeemed, because he was going to sell out. And that's what sin, as it came into the world, brought about in the lives of each and every one of us. That as Adam and Eve, as sin came into the world. And we don't have any choice about that today. We are all conceived in iniquity and born in sin. There's no exception to that. The only exception to that was the Lord Jesus Christ. And I can tell you this morning that he was without sin. And so he became the one who was qualified and was worthy of being able to pay the redemption price for my sin. For your sin. And so we need to just be mindful that as we go through this time of the year, that there is a little more to it than just a baby in the manger and the shepherds in the field and the big controversy over whether the angels sang or not. I still have challenged every one of you. No one has ever come to me yet and found in the word of the Lord where the angels sing. And I still hold that challenge this morning, that if you find that coming, let me know. Now, I might have to yield a little bit to you if you come up with one of the modern day translations that are used, because I suspect that somewhere along the line there were some writers who said, well, I believe they actually sang. Well, there are many good, knowledgeable preachers that believe that too, and I think they're probably much more studied than I am, but I still am one of these people that when you show it to me in the word of the Lord, I'll have to accept it. It'll be difficult for me to do that. But let me assure you this morning that until you do, I'll be just as convinced as you are in my stand. Anyway, that all of these things that we put such emphasis on, we need to understand that that is a plan, a part of a greater plan that God the Father and God the Son placed into movement or into processes before we ever came along here upon the face of the earth. Because the Son, after that heaven was searched and earth was searched and all above and beneath was searched, and there was found none that was worthy to pay the price for the redemption of the souls of men, that the Son said to the Father, I will go. I will be the one. I will pay the price. Now that lets you probably begin to wonder about some of my thinking. And where I come up with some of these things of Jesus Christ being before that birth in Bethlehem. But I'm convinced that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit have been from everlasting to everlasting, before beginning and after the end. And you can believe whatever you want to. If you want to dissect this and you want to separate them all out and say, well, God was in the beginning and Jesus came along at the birth and the Holy Spirit didn't come until on the day of Pentecost. Well, you can, that's okay if that's what you believe. Unfortunately, I don't agree with you. I believe that those three have always been, that they always will be, and that they each have their offices, that they each have their functions, that each of them have served a purpose, and Jesus said to the Father, I will go and pay the price for the redemption of Kent Parson, if nobody else. He was willing to do that. He was willing to come for each one of us. And so when he came here and he was born among the children of men, took upon himself the form of man and lived here as we live today, understood as we understand today, and yet without sin. We so many times get the idea that God doesn't understand what's going on down here. He doesn't He just can't possibly understand what all this. Let me tell you something. Before any of us ever came along, God already knew every one of those things. Listen, I want you to hear what the Apostle Paul says. Now, I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. Well, I didn't understand these things. Every one of these little portions has some special significance and some special meaning. He said, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. To redeem us. There was a time and a point in my life whenever that I reached what we refer to as, quote, the age of accountability. Up until that moment in my life, if I had died, I'd have gone straight to heaven, just like the redeemed go straight to heaven after they have been redeemed. But before that, quote, moment in time, when God revealed himself unto me and I rejected him, I was okay. Now, I believe that with everything there is about me. If Rocker or this other little one would have, if something happens to them, they're going to be okay. They're not, you know, I don't think you have to worry where they're going to be. But a moment will come in their lives, as it has in each and every one of us. And if some of you here to say, well, I've never had that moment in my life, then you're probably okay. You're probably okay. You've never reached the age of accountability. But I would very seriously question whether or not there are any of you, as I look over here, that are at that age, that you haven't reached the age of accountability and have the mentality that you have. Now, if you just didn't have any mind at all, that might be something differently. But every one of you, as I look around, have got a mind, and a pretty good mind, much better than mine in most cases. But there came a point in time where that God revealed himself unto you, and you had the opportunity to either heed or to reject. And every single one of us, for a moment in time, rejected. That's what made us sinners. That's what caused us to have the sin of unbelief in our hearts and our lives. Now, we were sinners, or we were born in sin, as I mentioned earlier. And so from that aspect, death is already pronounced upon each and every one of us. Now then, we reach that point, though, where that we either reject or we accepted the Lord Jesus Christ in our heart and our life. When we allowed him to come into our heart, and when we became his child, it was because he paid the redemption price that we might become one of his children. Not everybody in the world is his children. Now, we hear that all the time, all of God's children. Well, not everybody is a child of God. For heaven's sakes, people, get into the word of the Lord and quit just listening to all the fairy tales and all the fantasies that people have. It sounds good. People want to hear that, but it's not factual. It's not scriptural. The children of God are those who have been redeemed. Those who have, we as Gentiles, who have been grafted in. But I can guarantee you this morning that we've got too many people today who are just trying to make it so easy for everybody to get to heaven, that there are going to be a lot of them who are going to miss heaven. And they're going to miss it because we've lied to them. We've been deceptive to them. And that's all because of sin. That's because of Satan. It's not because that we didn't have good intentions. But I'm going to tell you this morning, the hell's going to be filled with good intentions. Guarantee you it will be. They meant well. I wish that could just be true, Bill. That everybody could just get by and say, well, they meant well. Lord have mercy. Listen, we became alienated from God. We rejected his Son. This old preacher, I never did that. If you've ever been lost, you did. And you can't be saved until you've been lost. I'm sorry. You can't be saved till you've been convicted of sin. You've got to know that you're a sinner. Now, I read our quarterly again, the first part of it, and I'm not being critical quarterly, but I am critical of this concept that just says, well, just read this right here, and it says, I am a sinner. I can teach Riker to read that. He may already know how to read that. But that doesn't make him a sinner. Just reading it isn't going to do it. And just saying, I'm going to read this and say, I'm sorry for my sin. I can train a little kid to read that. Are they sorry? I don't even know what sorry means. Let me tell you something this morning. We're in a serious business. We're in the business of telling people about a Redeemer that came here as a little child in God's great plan. Came here that he might redeem the souls of men, that he might give unto us the gift of eternal life, that we might know him in the full and the free pardon of sin, and that he might give that gift to us without us paying a single thing. There isn't a good enough person here this morning. There never has been and there never will be a good enough person here other than the Lord Jesus Christ, his presence. But as human beings who are worthy of salvation of the Lord. I don't care how good a life you've lived. I don't care how much you've read the word of the Lord. That isn't going to get you saved. It isn't going to be what you do. It's what he does. God said in his word here that his son, he sent his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Every so often I talk to people and I advise them, you know, when we start talking about death and everything, I always try to tell them, you know, you need to be sure that you get everything in order and that at least your family knows what you want. And sometimes I'll say, do you have a will made? And sometimes they'll say yes and sometimes no. And some of you probably know you're going to be the heir of mom and daddy's or somebody else's estate, whatever it may be. Let me tell you something this morning. I'm an heir of the greatest there is, of God Almighty. Yeah. You know, people say, well, I tell people all the time, you know, I came from the very poorest and I'm still not that well off as far as that goes, but in some respects I'm better off than most of the world is this morning because I'm an heir of God Almighty. Yeah, I'm one of his children. And when people begin to talk about doing their wills and they begin to talk about their estates, usually the first people they talk about are their children. That's understandable. That's understandable. And every once in a while, I get mad enough at one of mine. I say, I'm just going to change that will and just write them out. I haven't done that. And I know this has been recorded, and Diane was probably going to hear this, so watch it. But let me tell you something. God, whenever he sent his son, knew that there wasn't going to be any way in this world that I could ever save myself or that I could ever do anything that would make me worthy of salvation for the sin that I've committed, the sin of unbelief that I didn't believe him. And so he said, I have to send the very best there is. I sent my son. And so when you begin to think about it, as Joyce mentioned this morning, you know, Shirley and I, when we first got married, our second Christmas, we didn't buy each other anything. We went down to the boys' ranch and got a boy from down there and brought him home with us. The first little boy that ever got to leave the boys' ranch to go home with anyone. Guy's little name was Stevie. I've never forgotten that. And we had decided we're going to bring him home with us, and we're going to, instead of buying for each other, we're going to buy Christmases for presents for Stevie. And that's what we did. Probably one of the best Christmases that we had in that respect, that we felt good about giving something to some little guy that didn't have anything. Well, our second Christmas, we bought for each other. And when we opened it up, Joyce, you were right. It didn't fit. We didn't like it. It was the wrong color. And so each of us ended up going and taking everything back that we had gotten and exchanging it for something else. So we agreed right then. No, we're not going to do that anymore because we don't know enough about each other. And 50 years later, we still didn't know enough about each other in some respects. But let me tell you something this morning. The greatest gift, it's not going to be under the tree. The best gift, the most expensive gift, you cannot buy. You can't afford it. There's no way in the world that a single one of you here can do enough to merit that gift. But God will give it to you and has given it to many of us. Gave it to us without price, without anything to us on our part, accepting the price that he was willing to pay to send that son. You think he didn't love his son? Do you think for one minute that he was happy about how, I can't for a second believe that he didn't love his son more than we have the capability of loving. But they understood there wasn't any way that all of us were going to be able to escape the damnation of hell if he didn't send his son to redeem mankind. And so he came. He was born. He lived. And then he died. His blood was shed. And you see, that blood is what covers my sin. Yeah. When I stand before the great I am that I am, I know that my sin was covered. When God in his wonderful word speaks over in the book of Revelation about the people that were weeping and were concerned about the rolls being unsealed and no one, they searched heaven, they searched earth, they searched everywhere to find someone who was worthy to unloose the rolls and to see what was written therein. And none was found worthy excepting the Son. No one was good enough to be able to redeem my soul excepting the Lord Jesus Christ. How thankful I am this morning. How much I appreciate that he could take someone like me and say, I care enough for him that I will pay that price. I will redeem him, and he will become one of the sons, an heir, and a joint heir with Christ Jesus. Every single one of us this morning have the most wonderful gift if we've ever been to the Lord and been saved. Now, I'm qualifying that, but that's what it takes. We have the most wonderful gift there is. We sometimes lose sight of that fact. I still tell people every year, I'll tell you again this year, probably my most memorable gift that I ever received, about the size of this stand right here on the top here, a blackboard, a little blackboard. I was 5 years old, I guess. Lived about a mile from where I live right now. And wished so much to have that blackboard for Christmas, but knew it wasn't going to be there. Couldn't afford it. Knew that. And when I got up on Christmas morning and that blackboard was there, Dan, I guarantee you there wasn't enough devils in hell to convince me there wasn't a Santa Claus. Because, buddy, I knew he had come and left me that blackboard. I've never forgotten that. But let me tell you something else I've never forgotten. I've never forgotten whenever that the Lord Jesus Christ gave me the gift of eternal life. When he reached down as I came up out of the gymnasium and saved my soul, redeemed me from the clutches of Satan, made me an heir and a joint heir, so that I can say without any reservation whatsoever, I have the most precious gift that anyone can ever receive, and that is the Lord in my heart. And we each one need to be able to say that and to be thankful that we have that.